This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
After an amazing 31 years as an educator in the Chicago public school system, Aurelia Davis retired from the classroom, but hasn't slowed down. Her passion for education and helping young people is still as strong as ever. Known as an educator's educator, she serves as an educational leadership consultant. Also, Aurelia serves as a board member in one of Chicago's underserved communities. All of that, and a best-selling, award-winning author of the acclaimed book series, New Land, a deeply touching and powerful story of a post-slavery family trying to escape the South. Retired teacher turned educational consultant and author, Aurelia Davis, our guest, next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170. People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Aurelia Davis is a former Chicago public school teacher, known as an educator's educator. Teaching for 31 years, retiring in 2012, pursuing her passion for African-American history and Chicago history, she decided to write and publish 2 books, a third one to be released spring of this year. She's the author of A New Land, Book 1, about a family post-slavery. This family becomes a part of the African-American Great Migration to the Midwest. John David's family's dream is to move to Chicago, but the pressures of being a sharecropper places stumbling blocks in the way, forcing the family to slip away in the middle of the night. The story includes paranormal and murder, but most of all, the spirit of a family trying to escape the face of the South. Aurelia serves as an educational leader for the neighborhood where she grew up in North Lawndale, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. The author of A New Land, Book 1, a touching and powerful story of survival, sacrifice, and the enduring strength of love, Aurelia Davis, our guest on This Week in America. Aurelia, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, Rick, I am so, so grateful for this and just pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome and a pleasure to have you here. So much to talk about in the book, and we'll talk about the 2 books that are out, the third that will be coming out shortly. I want to talk to begin here about your illustrious teaching career. And as I understand, you always wanted to be a teacher. You said, for as long as I can remember, I wanted to be a teacher. Talk about where that came from and the career that you had in teaching.
Okay, well, I remember when I was my passion to be a teacher started when I was in kindergarten, and I had a teacher, and her name was Miss Fortuneberry. I don't know where it came from, but that was really her name. And she was just a loving person. She worked with the kindergartners on stage, and it was just a fantastic year being a kindergartner. And then as I started to go through the other grades, first grade all the way up through high school, each year was more pleasurable. You know, in other words, I really enjoyed being in the classroom, and I admired every teacher. A lot of the teachers, I did remember their names. Well, as I gotten older, I forgot some. But a lot of teachers basically made a very, very good impact in my life. And there was also the influence of my aunts. I had two aunts, my mother's sisters. They were teachers also. So I saw education and being an educator as one of the things that I definitely wanted to do when I grew up. You know, they always ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I always said a teacher. And so that's what ended up happening with me.
Well, it's interesting the impact Mrs. Fortuneberry had on you. You talk about the fact that she would start each day with a smile and a handshake. And something you sort of take for granted. A child that age, all of a sudden, here's this figure outside of my family. There's a little intimidation probably going into that. You've got a smile. You've got a handshake every day. And the bright spot you said was our morning circle. Talk about that. And I love the way she had such a welcoming approach to her classroom.
Well, at that time, back in those days, there was not a lot of pressure on the state level for teachers to produce very good scores, you know, as far as their students. But basically the learning impact as far as the classroom being home away from home. Teachers were very nurturing in those days, and I'm not saying that they're nurturing these days, but at that time, you know, a teacher could easily greet you at the door. They could easily place a hand on your shoulder, assuring you that you were going to have a fantastic day. And then she would sit. Now, at that time, teachers were encouraged to learn how to play the piano. So most of the classrooms in the Chicago public schools had pianos, and a lot of the teachers, especially the ones in kindergarten through third grade, were pianists. They knew how to play the pianos. They got you involved in the songs and so forth. So that just basically started a child's day out in the right manner, which allowed us to be very comfortable in the classroom. And so it just went on from there. And so I was impressed. I was impressed as a five-year-old, and I just took it from there. And Miss Fortuneberry took every opportunity to teach us. So instead of following like a direct lesson plan, the lesson plans were guides. And this is something I've practiced also when I was teaching, but the lesson plans were guides. But if the conversation of a lesson went in a different direction, in other words, Ms. Fortuneberry, why are the lights, why is the stoplight red and the stoplight green and so on and so forth? She would take that into a new level of learning. And so we just basically learned everything that was happening in the world. We did field trips, and our field trips were basically around the neighborhood. We didn't necessarily have to get on the bus and go to the zoo. We were basically in the neighborhood picking up leaves and flowers and looking at houses and things like that in the neighborhood where I grew up. So it was very, very promising learning experience for me.
She made an impression on you as a student and as a person, continued what she was doing in education, teaching in Chicago for 31 years and continuing in education today. Talk about that first job that you had. You're a student yourself, and you're working with children, and the impact that had on you, and that just further encouraged you to get into education, didn't it?
Yes. We would have what's called a work study, or either summer programs or summer job programs in Chicago. And what was happening is that students that were already in school were encouraged to go into schools and work. And so I remembered my first summer job. I was at a school, and I was assisting, it was a summer school, and so I was assisting the teacher to catch up, to help these particular students catch up with, like, assignments or either broaden their skills in reading and in math, because back in the day, that was the important core subjects, reading and math. And so those particular jobs, so every job I had growing up as a teenager was basically working with children. And that just sort of gave me the straightforwardness that this was what I was supposed to be. And so before I turned around and ended up with the actual classroom, I also worked at Malcolm X College in the Child Development Center. And there I was teachers that people that wanted to become child development majors, they would come down and observe me in the classroom. So every job, everything always had something to do with children. I was never, ever behind a desk with a typewriter. I was always working with children, even some children that was that had special needs. I worked in that area. And then I was also a field manager for Girl Scouts of Chicago. So here I'm back again working with young people. You know, so everything has just sort of drawn me to the level where I want to work with children. I feel it is very important because sometimes their parents are not able to give them what they need. But basically that educator or that community worker or that volunteer can give them, fill in the gaps of what sometimes our children need.
I'm so impressed with the career that you have in education, retired as a teacher, but you continue with that. And I want to shift in a second and talk about the book, because that's a continuation of this. You're giving us a story, not just for students, but for adults to really enjoy and get into the minds of what people were going through during this era of American history. The book is A New Land, Book One by Aurelia Davis. Aurelia Davis, yes. That's Aurelia. Her website, yes. davisaurelia.com. And I'll give you all of that in the links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about, first of all, the history. What made you so interested in the history of basically any kind? Because it's just not this time period, but history in general. Why that fascination? Why that passion in history?
Okay, well, when I did start teaching, I was teaching third grade, and our unit for third grade, history unit for social studies unit for third grade was Chicago. How perfect is that? Chicago. And so throughout the year, I worked along with my other colleague who was also a third grade teacher, and she was stronger in, the sciences. And I was stronger in the histories and social studies. So I would teach my students about Chicago. We would cover the Chicago flag. We would cover the Chicago seal. And then just go through all the history of Chicago, the Pottawatomie Indians, DuSable Landing in Chicago, and just different things within Chicago. But what made it even more so where I was living in North Lawndale, what made it even more so interesting is that that particular area was at one time a Jewish area. And as African-Americans came in, was migrated to Chicago, a lot of those African-Americans settled in North Lawndale. So the house that I lived in, we noticed I was down in the basement one time, and it's part of the third book, down in the basement, and behind a wall, I saw a music roll or piano roll. And so I started just going into the libraries and just looking up information about North Lawndale. And it was just so very interesting as to the different entertainers that lived in Lawndale, the park called Douglas Park, and how basically in the field house, they built boats to go out onto the lagoon. And then Lawndale is also very famous for all of the graystone buildings that are living in there, the two flat buildings that are in North Lawndale. And presently, the house where my husband stays right now, we found out that particular house was a Jewish synagogue. And so in the meantime, just being in a neighborhood that had so much historic value, I was always just reaching out and just trying to see exactly what more I can find out. And I just took in other words, it was ongoing. So I still don't know everything I need to know. But I took what I did know and just start relishing it. So I find myself on the internet even looking at individuals that were born in the 20s and the 30s and so on and so forth. And, of course, even going back to African-American history, I was born in 1952, so I was during the Civil Rights era. you know, and knew about Rosa Parks and so on and so forth. So that has just been a passion of mine, African-American history, but at the same time, American history. As to how all of this came together to give us what we have today as far as history is concerned.
It's amazing, and you do a wonderful job. The two books that are out, and we'll talk about book one here in a second, touch on book two, and then book three, which Aurelia talked about, is going to be based on her recollections, The Neighborhood, A Work in Progress, and I'm looking forward to chatting about that here in a few minutes. But let's focus on book one, A New Land. This is the story about a family post-slavery. An interesting time for so many people. The Civil War is over, and we think life went on, and there was a lot going on in the world of post-slavery. Talk about that and the family that you focus on and what they went through during this period.
Well, it starts out, let's put it this way. I was going to write about, I was going to do the third book first. That's what it was supposed to happen. And so I started working on the third book, but at the same time, I looked at it and I said, oh my goodness, people need to know exactly where this came from.
Yes.
So I went all the way back. And the book itself is basically just giving a little bit of African-American history. A lot of the slaves that were brought into the United States were gifted with different skills. There were carpenters, there were architects, there were engineers, mathematicians. And as we go through American history and African-American history, you know about all of the inventors that came through slavery that were slaves or either African Americans that have vented a lot of things, multiple things within the United States.
Yes.
And so along with those, also those engineers and mathematicians, I do believe and feel that these African Americans and these slaves had a lot of gifts. Gifts of foresight, being able to see into the future, being able to tell where they came from, and being able to foresight as far as seeing healing, all of those skills. And so that being a part of my mantra, to the point where I wanted to basically get more into it and find out more into it, I incorporated that in the first book. And so in the first book, what ends up happening is that there's three generations, and that third generation is John David, and he basically breaks away. It's post-slavery. He breaks away from his mother, but when he looks back on the cabin where he grew up, it all of a sudden it disappeared. So that just put I put that in there, and then I said, oh my goodness, that's good. I'm creating these paranormal things that basically I am intrigued by also, and it just carries it. And so it gets to the point, book one sort of ends with John David marrying and having two children, and that's what his mother told him was going to happen before she passed away. But even before his mother told him about it, his grandmother told his mother about it. And so the generations of information is just being passed down from person to person to person. Now, the unfortunate thing, even though slaves were considered free, and we talk about Juneteenth and all of those things, a lot of them did not leave the South, and a lot of them stayed on the plantations because they basically didn't know anything beyond the plantation.
Yes.
And they worked as sharecroppers. But we found out that sharecropping was another form of slavery, because what would end up happening is that as a sharecropper would pay the plantation owner, former plantation owner, to make, do things and whatever, they always had a tendency of getting behind in their payments to the plantation owner. So unfortunately, John David just decided that it was time for his family to leave, and he was going to venture up to Chicago, which is sometimes the first place that African Americans landed, Union Station. They would take that train and land in Union Station in Chicago, and from there they would go on. But John David sent his family forward, and he had to stay behind because as they were slipping away, just like the Underground Railroad, as they were slipping away, yes, at night, they got caught. And so he hid his wife and his two children, but he stayed there, and they took him back to the plantation where he was working. And unfortunately, he lost his life, and the owner lost his life. But his wife and his two children ventured on to Chicago. His wife may live, still trying to figure out what happened to her husband. And even in a special part in the second book, she went back trying to trail and face what happened to her husband, but she never returned. And so this leaves only the two children, Olivia and her brother. And that's where the second book ends. So it talks about them living in Chicago. It brings up history to the point where we're even talking about how when people landed in Chicago, migrated to Chicago or to other cities, that they had rooming houses. So you were basically in these large buildings, but everybody basically shared one bathroom. And the apartment they landed in may have had a bedroom and a kitchen or a kitchenette, but they never did have their own bathroom. So they had to basically live within a communal type of situation. And it was not always pleasant, but at the same time, they realized that it was better than where they had come from, where during the South, there was still Jim Crow laws, you know, and people and African Americans were still being lynched for different things and so on and so forth, you know. So that's what takes them. So they're living through the 20s and the 30s in Chicago and basically trying to survive as the children of John David.
More with retired teacher turned educational consultant, author, and lifelong learner Aurelia Davis after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. That's old news. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, you now have tons of options. Save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect. We scan your location and offer you the best TV and internet options. And we always have specials and promotions. So when you call, ask about that. Take 5 minutes of your time. Make this free call now and learn how to save money and get better internet and TV for your home anywhere in the U.S. Make this simple and free call now.
800-915-9058. 800-915-9058. 800-915-9058. That's 800-915-9058. People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Now back to This Week in America and our guest, Aurelia Davis, author of the best-selling book series, A New Land. It's such a fascinating read. It's very emotional at a number of levels, a number of themes that you talk about. When you read the reviews of the first book, A New Land, Book One by Aurelia Davis, A-R-E-U-L-I-A Davis, her website is davisaurelia.com. We'll get that, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book, of course, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, litprime.com, all of the usual places, and all that information, again, on our website. As you go through that, they really appreciate the dialogue. And I'm thinking as you
Thank you. You
do the dialogue, you really mentally have to get into these characters, don't you? What was it like putting yourselves in the position of May Lynn and John Jr. and Olivia? What was it like? I would think that would be very emotional for you to mentally, emotionally go back to this period in history.
Well, it, you know what? I'm coming from a family. My mom lived to be 84, and I'm currently working with her, caregiving for her baby sister, who's 90. And then she had another sister that passed in July who was 94. So you see, longevity runs in my family.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so in the meantime, what also happens is that we used to sit down with my mother. These are my mother's aunts. My mother's sisters, I'm sorry. And we used to sit down with them, and they would just tell us the stories about what it was like living in Chicago back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. I remember my mom telling me how she, you know, she was very religious, and so she would go to conventions, and she would take trains all the way from Chicago to California. You're talking about Route 66 and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And at the same time, you know, my mom and her, there was five siblings. Unfortunately, my grandmother, who is my mom's mother, passed away when my mother was about 12 years old. So my mom had to take care of her siblings. She was the oldest, and she had to take care of her siblings, which included three sisters and one brother. And then what ended up happening, my grandfather, during that time, he basically went around collecting rags. He collected rags, and he just did all kinds of things and whatever. So this was a typical African-American family coming through this time trying to survive, through the Depression and so on and so forth, trying to survive. But at the same time, what ended up happening is that I sort of realized that basically my particular family growing up, we did not necessarily have all of the funds and the money that we want. I came from a family of five girls, my mom and my dad. My dad was a barber, and my mom was just did regular work. You know, she worked at the post office and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So we're talking about a family that did not necessarily have everything they needed, but we were okay. We were okay. You know, there was not a big car sitting in front of the house. And basically, my father would dole out our lunch money about 25 cents a day. And my mom would fix dinner for us, and we would have a home-cooked meal every day. It wasn't necessarily steak, not always chicken, but sometimes the way we would eat and what we would eat, but we survived as a family. And family was strong. So that's when I was writing the characters of this particular book. I wanted to make sure that this particular family was strong, but I wanted them also to feel and feed off of their ancestors. I wanted them to, even though their mother was not there, I wanted them to be able to feed off of what their mom might do or what their father did and whatever. You know, they never did see their father again, but at the same time, the emotional part of it, I placed myself in those situations because I grew up in the 50s. I grew up during civil rights era. So I knew exactly what it looked like. I knew what it felt like. And even before civil rights started and got stronger, I can realize and understand what was happening.
DavisAurelia.com. Aurelia is A-R-E-U-L-I-A. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and there is a link there, a link that will take you to Amazon, the page there. Take you to litprime.com as well. And I thank litprime.com for arranging our conversation with Aurelia today.
Oh, I do too.
Aurelia, the time has gone by way too quickly. Would love to do this again.
Oh,
so much more to talk about. What a career, and a career that's not over. It's continuing and continuing to touch lives in a positive way. And it's been such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for your time, and can't wait to do it again. Aurelia Davis is our guest. Her website, davisaurelia.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.